Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure.
Typing in IMDb search results right now for this movie.
Hello, Lizzie.
I'm so sorry for calling you out like that.
Listen, this movie is about as mediocre as movies get, and so therefore it deserves the most mediocre response that I could give it.
You know,
I think
that's the charm of our podcast.
It's true.
The most mediocre responses we could give.
The most mediocre film. By the way, I picked this movie, so I'm sitting here like, yeah, this movie sucks. But it's a childhood favorite. A lot of these are childhood favorites. But before we get into that,
yeah,
how's your week been?
Fine. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. I am, it's almost the weekend, and I can't believe that I'm already excited for it to be the weekend again.
Yep.
But it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know. I'm trying to think if there's anything exciting going on. And there's not.
It's supposed to rain soon. Which, if you haven't figured it out by now, we live in the state of Georgia. Not a big shock.
Come cleansing rain.
And, if you are not from Georgia and have never experienced the pollen here, everything is yellow.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm not having a coughing fit right now is because I'm holding it inside, and as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to, like, puke. I'm gonna cough so hard. Like, everything inside of me is itchy. My eyes itch. Also, I feel like I have black eyes, even though you can't see them, because there's, like, it's like, under my skin reaction, and my Lady Gaga eyeliner is barely staying on.
It looks fine, and it's absolutely on and present.
Thanks. It's gonna be off by the end of the movie, because, like, I can already feel my eyes watering. I forgot to take my allergy medicine this morning.
Well,
so that one's on me.
Yeah, that is on you.
So yeah, that's the most exciting thing right now is rain.
Yeah.
I am desperate for it.
We don't have to talk about the movie now, but good golly, what a segue
what a segue. Let's just jump right in. Let's do it.
Okay, so speaking of rain.
So this movie contains what is simultaneously, like, the cheesiest line ever and one of my favorite lines in cinematic history, which is, "Waiting on you is like waiting for rain in this drought. Useless and disappointing." And that is a quote from Hilary Duff's character in A Cinderella Story.
2004. I cannot think of a more 2004 movie.
Oh my god.
Did The Prince and Me come out in 2004? Because that's the closest thing to a 2004 movie that I can think of.
Probably. It came out sometime around then.
Yeah. Remember, so Princess Diaries came out in 2000. And this was, like, on the princess streak that happened after Princess Diaries was wildly popular.
Except for Princess Diaries was objectively a wonderful film.
Oh, it's a delight.
It's, like, from a cinematic standpoint, it's a good movie.
Yes, I agree.
It's so good. This one is not that.
I maybe watched this, like, once in middle school. I really liked Lizzie McGuire, so I liked anything that Hilary Duff was.
Right. I had a tendency to hyper-focus on movies. I still kind of do. Like, if I like a show or a film, I'll watch it a couple times before I move on. But when I was little, it was really bad. So this was the film. I had a hyper-fixation with this film. I got it. I bought it. I popped it in my VCR player because it was 2004 and VCR was not dead yet.
Kyle's home.
My husband just got home. Yay. You guys got to meet Kyle a little bit last week. He's home. He's trying to hush the dog.
That's so funny.
But I lost my train of thought. Oh, so I was obsessed with this film. I would plop it into the VCR and I would watch it and then I would rewind it. And then I'd watch it again and I'd rewind it again. And I'd watch it and I'd rewind it. And I don't know why. But this movie definitely, like, in high school, I really wanted to, like, more like early middle school and, like, late middle school, early high school. I was like, one of these days, like, I'm the weird girl. So one of these days, like, a jock is totally going to fall in love with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get to use that rain line on him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have, like, all kinds of droughts and stuff here in Georgia.
But let's be real. Like,
hi.
Hello. The biggest, like, I don't even want to say fantasy. I want to flat out say lie of these kinds of movies is that Hilary Duff is the weird girl.
Right? She's the prettiest girl in the whole film, and they're like, she's the social outcast. And then I'm sitting there with, like, bright green braces in middle school.
Yeah.
And, like, big glasses. Yeah. And, like, I'm actually the social outcast. And I'm like, look, I'm just like Hilary Duff.
Yeah. Yeah. The thought of, like, my 11-year-old self meeting Hilary Duff and being like, I'm just like you.
Yep.
Like, that's a thought that honestly kind of makes me uncomfortable to imagine.
Right.
But I am, I'm curious about this viewing experience, if only because I'm curious about how much it's going to be a, time travel back to the early 2000s.
Yeah, it is. So we didn't really talk about the vibe, but I feel like the vibe's pretty good for this film.
Yeah, I agree.
We're eating, like,
our local joints.
Yeah.
It's
not quite a diner, but it's kind of a diner.
Yeah.
Which is a prominent location in this film.
This is true.
A brief synopsis. This is a film about Sam, played by Hilary Duff, who, her dad is, like, her best friend growing up, and he owns this diner called Hal's, because his name is Hal. And then he dies, and her stepmother, like, takes all of her inheritance and, like, ruins the diner and makes it kind of, like, gross and frilly and horrible. And she makes Sam work at the diner and slave away. And so Sam has no social life. And Sam, she wants to go to Princeton. That's a big plot point in this movie. It's Princeton.
Princeton,
right? Get it? Got it. Good. So she wants to go to Princeton. And she has a secret, like, basically she's talking to, like, a random stranger online.
I remember
back
this.
In the days of, like, AOL and, like, AIM, like, Instant Messenger. Which we all did, and it was super fun. And her pen pal's name is Nomad. He wants to go to Princeton, too. But the big plot twist is that he is played by Chad Michael Murray, and he is the, captain of the football team, like, the quarterback kind of deal, and his dad wants him to go to, like, I don't remember, somewhere for football.
Yeah.
And doesn't want him to go to Princeton, and, so there's this big Halloween party dance, and she goes dressed in this beautiful ball gown and a mask, and he doesn't know who she is, but they meet there, and then she drops her cell phone because it's 2004 and we have flip phones. And if you'll notice, one of the fun things about this is, like, do you remember, like, what was it, like, T9 texting or whatever? What was it called?
Oh, yeah.
So, if you are a millennial listening, or not, if you are not a millennial listening to this, if you were Gen Z, back in the day, you would have to, like, hit each button a certain number of times to get each letter.
Yep.
And then they came out with, like, T9, which was kind of, like, autocorrect, like, predictive texting that saved you some time, except for when it was wrong, which sucked. And, it took, like, 9 years to send one text message. And those were the days. It was great.
Yep.
This movie also stars my two of my favorite people for very different reasons. It stars the lovely Jennifer Coolidge.
Yes.
Which is
my favorite.
If you've never seen what's that guy on TikTok? Do we know his name?
I don't know his name.
I'll look it up and I'll tell everyone when we come back.
Guy who does great Jennifer Coolidge impressions.
Great Jennifer Coolidge impressions. He's so funny, and so is she. She's just a gem.
At some point I'm gonna pick Austin Land for this because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, which also features her, and she is an absolute delight in that film as well.
I'm excited to rewatch that because I saw it when I was little. Or I wasn't
little,
I was
younger. I was
about to
say, you couldn't have been that little.
I was younger, and I saw that movie in a hotel with my mom. We're, like, on vacation. Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, like, I was, like, really tired. So, like, halfway through the movie, I was, like, annoyed that it was still on. But I also was like, well, we paid for it, so now I gotta watch it. And I just wanted to go to bed, kind of. So I don't remember liking it very much, but I think it was more the situation than the film itself.
I'm so excited to pick it whenever I get the opportunity to do so.
Me too. I can't wait. So yeah, Jennifer Coolidge is in this. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, like, Jennifer Coolidge is, like, a character actor, and she's very, like, quirky and funny, and she's not really in anything that's, like, Oscar worthy. And then we've got Regina King.
I forgot that Regina King was in this.
Yeah, she's the fairy godmother character.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I feel like Regina King has been in movies for forever. But everyone kind of slept on her, and she's, like, just now getting Oscars.
Yeah.
Which is silly, because when you watch this film, what you'll notice is that her acting is so sincere and authentic that you forget in the scenes that she's in that it's a bad movie.
Like, I'm excited to re-experience that.
Like, she really holds down the fort. This film, do you want to guess the critic score for this film? This might be one of the lowest ones we've ever done.
Really?
Maybe worse than... I'm not sure if it's worse than the Liz McGuire movie. Let's find out.
I don't remember what the Lizzie McGuire one was, but I'm going to guess it's a 4.4.
This is lower than the Lizzie McGuire movie. You think it's a 4.4 percent?
Oh, no. I thought it was out of 10. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's like, I'm sorry, like a tomato score. I'm so sorry. I think it's a... funnily enough, if it's percentages, I'll say 34%.
So, the audience score is 53%.
Okay.
The critic score is 12%.
Wow.
Yeah, this movie is not well-liked by pretty much anybody. Like, one of the top critic reviews just calls it, like, an uninspired, repetitive fairy tale. The only positive reviews are pretty much Jennifer Coolidge is so funny as the evil stepmother. She has so many good lines. That's it.
Yep. That's honestly kind of what I'm expecting.
Yeah, it's... as an adult, the fun parts are all the other adults in the film.
Yeah.
It's a fun throwback to the early 2000s. The fact that Chad Michael Murray can't tell who... it's not... The thing about Cinderella is he's looking for one girl out of an entire kingdom, and she's a servant who he has not had an opportunity to interact with ever.
Yeah. Not a high school.
Not a high school where this person is walking around the school every day and, like, interacts with him, like, several times throughout the film. It is so dumb, and it does not work. But, yeah. Anyways, it's fun, and they've got that, what is that? There's that song, the, I'll be na 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 na.
Oh my gosh.
Na, 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 na. I don't remember any of the words. All I remember is I'll be na, 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 na. That's it. That's all I got.
I know exactly what song you're talking about.
Yeah. That's the song they dance to.
I can't, the last line of the chorus is the title of the song, And it's right there. It's right on the tip of my tongue. And I don't... It's gone. I'm so sorry.
When we come back, we'll let you know what it was.
I'll let you know. I'm ashamed of my middle school self right now.
So you
but
have...
But I'm often ashamed of my middle school self.
I'm very often for me.
Yeah.
So you have seen this film, correct?
I have, and I have very clear memories of, like, distinct scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember even when I was in middle school, this movie not making, like, a huge impression
on
me.
No, it didn't. I was, like, the only one who, like, genuinely liked it, and everybody else was like, meh.
This was standard sleepover fare.
Yeah.
This was a movie that, like, you know, there's certain movies that come out now where I think, who is going to see that? Like, who's mm-hmm. actually paying money to yeah. go and see that? And then I remember, oh, my middle school self is.
Yes.
And this is one of those movies.
Yes.
Where we were like, it has Hilary Duff, the front cover has a big pretty ball gown. Oh my god,
she it wears, is a really pretty ball
she
gown.
She wears Converse under her ball gown. She's so just quirky like me. I can't tell you how obsessed I was with my pink Converse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Middle through high school, I still own a pair of pink Converse that I put on periodically just when I'm like, you know what? I need to not let go of this part of myself.
I had like 8 pairs of Converse in a bunch of different colors, and I wore the crap out of every single pair of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was
to
like
the
black
pair. To be
fair,
they're like the comfiest shoes to ever
they're
exist.
They're pretty comfy, yeah. And then like the... My black pair was, like, so disgusting by the time I threw them away. It was, like, they were, like, gray. They weren't mm-hmm. black anymore. And then they were, like, the white parts had turned, like, this deep brown.
Yep.
And the line, the little, like, cute line on the outside had peeled off. And then all my friends had written stuff all over them.
Mm-hmm.
They were just absolute garbage. And yep. I loved them so much.
I think... Yeah, I'm just kind of curious to see what this experience is like now.
Yeah.
Like, how much of that, like, quirkiness makes me cringe versus
yeah.
gives me, like, a fond remembrance.
Oh, can I tell you one thing about this movie that even as a kid I found very frustrating? So, and this is not actually a fault of the movie or the actor. I have a really hard time liking Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
But
I liked blonde
because,
guys when I was a kid, so I was like, he's blonde.
Right.
He's cute.
He fulfilled kind of my Nick Carter fantasy.
See, mine was my... We've talked about this. Mine was my
Aaron Carter
fantasy.
Yeah. But the problem with Chad Michael Murray is that I grew up watching Gilmore Girls.
I did not.
So if you've seen Gilmore Girls... He was, like, the school douchebag on Gilmore Girls.
To be fair, no offense to Chad Michael Murray, he has a very douchebag face.
He does.
He can play a douchebag exceptionally well.
He does. And he plays the, like, sweet, sensitive boy in this, and is completely believable. But I had watched too much Gilmore Girls, so I was like, are you really the sweet guy?
Can I trust you
with Hilary Duff's heart?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But of course, I mean, he's not bad at all. He's quite charming. But I, even as a kid, I waffled back and forth between being like, he's so dreamy, and being like, ew. And like I said, no fault of his own. It was more the fault of him being like a really good actor. It's like when you see the kid who played Joffrey.
I love him.
And he's such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
But you see his face and you get this like gut reaction of like, ah, screw you, dude. Like,
you know what's funny? The sweet boys always end up playing the bad guys.
It's true.
Because Tom Felton is a perfect person.
Yes. That is true. I think it's because sweet people can be empathetic and can find something to relate to and connect with in a mean guy.
Yeah. I think they also have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're truly escaping into the character for
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. And I think Chad Michael Murray did a very nice job of that. I know he was in some other things. I think he was in Gossip Girl. I never watched Gossip Girl.
I never did
either. I've been told I look like somebody on Gossip Girl once, and I was just like, thanks, I guess. And I didn't actually, like, look them up to see if it was true. Hmm. It was a college professor. She, like, every time she saw me, she was like, you look like so-and-so on Gossip Girl. I was like, I know we've had this conversation.
My college professor told me that I looked like Chummy on Call the Midwife, which, to be fair...
You do.
I do.
You do
look exactly like Chummy on Call the Midwife. And she wasn't in the first episode, so I watched it and I was like...
You're like,
she...
I don't look like anybody.
Well, I was like, does she think I look like the really petite little nun who wears glasses? And then the second episode happened, I was like, oh. It was kind of nice. I felt seen. I've never seen myself on television before.
You know who I feel like I really look like? And this is not a compliment.
Go ahead and insult yourself.
Oh my god, I'm a terrible Harry Potter fan. I'm forgetting her name. Is it Pansy Parkinson? Draco Malfoy's, like, kind of girlfriend who he doesn't actually care about.
You kind of look like Pansy Parkinson.
Don't I, though? Like, in like, the fifth and sixth movie, she's, like, this surly-looking girl in the background.
Yeah.
And her face looks so scarily like mine, especially, like, I'm with it now and I don't have a side part, but when I did, hot damn, I looked like Pansy Parkinson.
Really funny.
Which, I mean, part of me was like, well, she got to be with Draco Malfoy, but did she really?
No.
No.
She got to be used by Draco Malfoy.
Right. That's not what we're here for.
That's really funny.
So, yeah, that's who I look like.
That just made my day.
I'm glad you see it, though.
Yeah. Last comment from me, at least, about this movie before we start. I guess this is the closest thing that I have to a prediction since I've already seen this movie, but I don't remember it very well. Mm-hmm. I feel like this movie does... We're talking about Cinderella adaptations for this month. Mm-hmm. I feel like in Cinderella adaptations, the stepsisters are either... just, like, kind of copy-paste clones of one another, which, I mean, aside from the physical differences of the last movie, mm-hmm. that basically was what they were, character-wise. Or there's always, like, a really evil, conniving one who's kind of, like, the leader of the stepsisters, mm-hmm. and then the other one's just really,
really
dumb.
Stupid.
And I don't know... if I'm just applying what I know to be true in Ella Enchanted to this movie, but I feel like that was the case in this movie, too.
This one kind of toes the line. They're both dumb, but one of them is kind of the ringleader. And they do the thing in this film where, they do it, too, in the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, the Brandy version that we watched last week. Well, we watched, like, 2 months ago, but we played last week. And it all kind of harkens back to the Disney Cinderella, where there's... a, like, color aesthetic.
Yes. They always try and go with these really bright colors. Interesting that they can make them ugly colors when they're not in and of themselves inherently ugly colors.
Right.
Very, very Featherington, like...
Yep.
We took these bright, obnoxious colors and made them more bright and obnoxious.
Yes. Oh, can we take a second? Talking about the stepsisters' outfits, the thing that's hilarious about their outfits to me is that they're supposed to be ugly. Mm-hmm. But in the early 2000s, they were almost stylish, but off.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
So, like, track suits that are, you know what I'm saying? Matching track suits that are bright colors.
Right.
Those little, like, they're like newsboy hats, but, like, girls wore them with the low-cut jeans.
I definitely had one of those newsboy
hats.
Oh,
I did too.
Are you ready for this?
It was bright pink.
Mine was camo and knit.
Ooh, that's good.
Right?
That is early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
Where'd you get it? Limited to?
No.
That's where I got mine.
I got it.
Oh, no. Is it worse than Limited 2?
You would never guess it in a million years. In a million bajillion years. I got it in the Cracker Barrel store.
What? You got your early 2000s newsboy hat in the... It's almost... I feel like a newsboy hat is almost not the right thing to call it. It's like a J-Lo hat.
It was a J-Lo hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wear a lot of stuff like that, and... just everything about this film is very, very early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Very early 2000s.
Oh,
speaking of which, I about had a heart attack because, so the early 2000s, you guys have not seen us, but neither of us are exactly skinny people.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who looked like us.
We are thick girls with thick eyebrows.
Yes. The early 2000s were a really stressful time for us.
Thin girls and thin eyebrows.
And everything, like, the really low-riding jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the thing, is if you have really low-set hips, mm-hmm. cool. But if you don't, then even if you're skinny, it looks like you have a muffin top.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I was not quite as voluptuous as I am now. But even then, my hips are kind of higher set.
Yeah.
And I just didn't look... I didn't look like Hillary Duff in anything that I wore.
Yeah.
And it was upsetting. But recently I got an invite to, like, this little party. And it's a 2000s themed, like, early 2000s.
You know what you gotta do? You know what you gotta get?
What?
Find yourself some knit gauchos.
Ooh! Yeah, you're right.
Capri-length gauchos.
Yep.
That was the curvy girl's friend. I had capri-length mm-hmm. everything.
Yep, you're right. But I do kind of want to find one of those J-Lo hats, though.
Oh, yeah.
If I can find one at, like, Goodwill. I don't want to pay for one.
Skinny scarf and a fat belt.
Oh, skinny scarves. I had this one that was, like, it was, like, sparkly, but it was, like, really muted colors, and I loved that thing, and I thought I looked so good in it.
Yeah.
I'll have to pull up some of my old pictures from middle school and show you sometime.
Oh, gosh. I don't ever want to look at pictures of me from middle school again.
It was a bad time.
There aren't a whole lot of them out there because, you know, you got Facebook when you got into high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's, like, print photos of me somewhere in middle school, but not a whole lot.
I have a few on Facebook that I, like, because I got a Facebook in, like, ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a lot of my pictures from 8th grade on there.
Yeah.
Because I still wasn't cool in 9th grade. Dude, I had these wide leg pants in, like, 6th grade.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be cool now. But, whew, they were something back then.
Rough time. I know.
Rough time.
My jeans always had, like, some sort of pink swirl or something on the pockets or the sides or something. Yeah. A lot of applique.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sparkles on denim.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to propose that we take a sippy sip every time we see something in here where we go, I had that. I wanted that. I remember that. Because that's honestly the only thing I'm really looking forward to in watching this movie is taking a trip down 2000s memory.
I am down. Beer drinking game.
Yeah.
So we probably won't be too sloshed. Sloshed?
Sloshed is the right word.
Okay. Yeah. But so we probably won't be too that. But we might be a little tipsy when we come back. Wish us luck.
All right.
Without further ado,
let's go to this prom homecoming
Halloween
ball
thing.
You know that this Halloween ball is going to be like twice the budget of our senior proms.
Right.
And no one would ever have this.
No, absolutely not.
Sorry. And we'll critique.
We'll talk about it when we come back. Bye.
Okay, I'm going to explain to them why I'm laughing. It's because about 3 minutes ago, you were like, you know what? I'm the 12%. I'm part of the people who like this movie. And then something in the song during the credits happened, and you went, Jesus.
Okay. When this movie is good, it's never, like, spectacular, but it's really cute in moments.
It's decent.
And then it turns around and just has these, like, cringeworthy moments.
Here's the honest truth is that it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Considering it's only 12%, I thought it would be worse. I thought that maybe I had remembered it.
I thought this was really much better than the Lizzie McGuire movie,
So much better.
Still a lot of problems. But, some stuff that I get the, like, guilty pleasure yeah. charming part of it.
It's cute. There are parts. The soundtrack is okay. awful.
I said at the beginning, like, the very first song in this is, "This Will Be!" And I was like, we get it. Last in the... We all watched The Parent Trap.
Literally, the first song is that, and the second song is friggin' "Stranger Than Your Sympathy."
Yeah.
"This Is My Apology." And it's like, we get it. It's a sad scene. Like, it's so ham-fisted.
Yeah.
And every song... is either really ham-fisted or it's a Hilary Duff song and there's no in-between.
Right.
Yeah.
What should I start with here?
I feel like maybe we should start with what's good.
Okay.
Because there's not going to be as much.
Yeah. I have some very distinct "these things were good."
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, they were not what I expected.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought I was going to sit here and talk about Jennifer Coolidge and Regina. I can't think of her last name.
Regina King.
Thank you, Regina King. And they were fine. They were really good as the characters that they were.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about some problems with some of those character things
later.
Yeah,
there's a lot of problems.
But
there are problems that I forgot were problems.
Yes. But... I will say I was genuinely surprised with how charming Chad Michael Murray was, and I already don't know his character's name. It was just Chad Michael Murray.
How did you forget Austin Ames?
It's a bad name.
It is a bad name, but they repeat it like 5,000 times.
I know, but I think I willed myself to forget it. Also, every time he's on screen, I was just going Chad Michael Murray.
Okay, I don't even remember what Korean drama this is from. It might be Boys Over Flowers, or maybe it's the other one. I can't remember. But there's a Korean drama where I will on my deathbed I will have like Alzheimer's and I won't remember my name and I won't remember my children, but I will remember the name of the love interest in this Korean drama because his name is Gu Jun Pyo, and they say it every other line.
What Korean drama was this?
I think it might be Boys Over Flowers.
Gu Jun Pyo. I'm sorry, you just said that. I've literally heard that name before.
Yeah, it's like a meme.
I haven't seen Boys Over Flowers.
They quote it. I think it's Boys Over Flowers. It might be the what's the other one? I can't remember what the other one.
Right.
I didn't like Boys Over Flowers, and then there was another one that I did like, but for some reason the name Boys Over Flowers like stuck in my head, and the name of the one I actually like just never did.
Right.
And I can't remember which one Gu Jun Pyo is from, but it doesn't matter. The point is, to me, there is something similar about the way that they say his name every other minute in the Korean drama, and then here they're like, Austin Ames? Austin Ames?
Yeah.
You're going out with Austin Ames? And it's never Austin. It's always the full thing.
Yeah.
They, like, start chanting his name, and they're like, Austin Ames! Austin Ames!
I genuinely liked him and thought he was charming.
He is very charming.
I did say at the end that, and I'll go into the over the top, like, bullying gesture, you know, at the end of it. But, at first I was kind of griping about it. I was like, why would you sit there in silence? And you pointed out that, like, the whole thing is him being scared of his dad. Mm-hmm. And his dad is there and says something that indicates that he's not pleased that he's had this relationship with this girl that they're making fun of him for. I'm sorry. I will dissect that horrible, horrible scene later.
Right.
But I did genuinely like him. I thought he was genuinely charming, and sweet and nice. Speaking of genuinely sweet and nice guys, I can't believe that I forgot about her best friend,
Carter,
in this movie.
Carter is a gem.
Carter is wonderful. He is the nice guy that the, quote, nice guys want to be.
Yep. And he's like an actual nice guy.
Yes! He's never jealous of anyone in her life. He's genuinely her friend. He's, and like, but he likes girls, but he has this very pretty girl who's just his friend. And that's so refreshing and nice.
And his, one of his, like, big cool moments is that he defends a girl who is being harassed by another man.
Yes!
And,
biggest turn on.
He finally gets to make out with that girl who he thought was the girl of his dreams, and he even, despite not wanting to, ditches her to go help Sam.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up with the cool girl at the end, the one who, like, read the announcements and has purple hair.
Actual cool girl.
Like, he's just genuinely a good person all around. He's Dan Carter in this house. Also,
I think you're going to say what I was actually just about to say.
One of the things we talked about when we were talking about Carter is that when we were in middle school, we all thought that we would grow up to be Hillary Duff, and all of us grew up to be Carter.
Which is a better outcome.
Freaking.
It's a better outcome.
He shows up to the dance dressed as Zorro, but isn't content to just be dressed up like Zorro. He's got to act like it too. And honestly, I've been to Dragon Con one too many times, and I feel that.
Yep. But, okay, other things here. One, all we know about Sam is that she wants to go to Princeton. What does she want to do at Princeton? Who knows? Who cares?
What is she interested in? What are her motivations?
He wants to be an actor, and he achieves a very reasonable but awesome goal by the end of this movie.
He does.
Of being a lead in a commercial. Yep. And it's, like, so sweet to see. So I loved him. We were joking about this movie has both Zorro and Musketeers, like, our two favorite things fighting one another at the fanciest of fancy homecomings. Like, the most 1% homecoming I've ever seen.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. So not every venue that my high school did. We actually, you know what, I take that back. We never did homecoming at a venue. Homecoming was always...
Prom was venue.
And we had some pretty fancy venues for our prom.
We had fancy venues, but, like, that was, I don't know. That was, like, next...
We had next one venue tier. That was maybe close to that one. When I went to a small private school, though.
Yeah.
So
you had a small group, and you could fit in a space like
exactly. that. Exactly. We only had 86 people that I graduated with, so we could rent out a place like that and not have to pay, like, additional fees.
Right.
And, you know, we could have it catered, and it wasn't, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, for a homecoming dance, it's just stupid. Something that I noticed this time. Best costume at the dance party.
Yes!
What was the teacher's name again?
Mrs. West?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
There's a teacher who wears butterfly clips in her hair, and we were super, like, fans of hers until they had to throw in, like, a 2000s rapey teacher joke.
There's always rapey teacher jokes in 2000 movies.
It's like, so creepy.
You want to know what movie as a kid I really liked? I don't know if we've talked about this. As a kid, I really loved this movie, and then I watched it as an adult, and I was so grossed out
Never
by it.
Never Been Kissed.
Yeah, have we talked about that?
Yeah, we have.
Speaking of which, and this will segue into probably next week's movie, we were talking about people we've been told we look like. Somebody told me I look like Drew Barrymore, and I don't think that's true, but...
The audience can't see it, but I'm holding up my, like, little bit fingers.
But next week, I'll tell you why that's pertinent to my life, that I look like Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm. The stories.
There was a play based on a Drew Barrymore movie that we're gonna watch next week, and I played the Drew Barrymore character. Lots of stories. Anyways, but, how did I get there? Never Been Kissed.
Yep.
That movie is atrocious. Like,
I have only watched parts of it on TV. I've never sat down and watched the whole thing.
It's disgusting.
I'm kind of curious to watch it.
You should watch it. It didn't age well. Like, the fact that this teacher is, like, he finds out that she's an adult, and he's like, I was starting to think that I was, like, gross for liking a high schooler. And I'm like, you were gross, dude. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that she was an adult. And even though she was an adult, she was pretending to be a high schooler.
Yeah.
And it's nasty that you thought that you could have a romantic relationship with her in any capacity.
Yeah.
And I really don't like that movie.
Yeah.
It's not cute.
So, yes. Coming back, rapey teachers aside.
Yeah.
Mrs. West, aside from that costume. One joke, was wonderful, but the best costume at the costume party was...
Miss West's parking spot.
It was so great.
Some guy wore, he was wearing like this big like
gray box,
gray rectangle that had like white lines on the side, and then his hat was like the little like bar that's at the edge of the parking spot, yeah. So that you don't like run your car into stuff.
Yeah,
it was so good.
It said Mrs. West on it.
Yeah, it did. Was it Mrs. West or was it Miss Hill?
I don't think it was Miss Hill. It had a W in it, didn't it? I don't remember for sure.
Maybe it was West Hill.
Oh, it may have been.
Maybe it was. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Teacher with the butterfly clips. If you watch the film, you'll know her instantly.
Yes. And keep an eye out for the kid at the dance who is her parking spot. Because, and this is what I said. We were talking about how all those costumes were, like, way nicer than actual high school kid costumes would be.
Oh my god, so much nicer.
That kid would be the one kid who showed up and everyone was like, oh, dude! And it would be awesome.
Yep. So, I guess we're still talking about good, right? In a moment, I think we need to transition to talking about what was super 2000s about this movie.
Yes, which is both good and bad, and I think. Yes, yeah.
So that'll be a good segue. But anything else good that stood out to you?
I'm, like, filtering through.
I mean, we've already kind of mentioned Regina King and Jennifer Coolidge. Like,
yeah.
They didn't have a lot to work with. But they made what they had work in a way that it could have been bad. Like, they pulled it off.
I'd say that about everyone who worked in the diner as well. They were all good character actors. They were all genuinely charming and sweet. But, yeah. Well, they had very small parts and not a lot to work with. So I think there were some very good actors in this. But it was very standard fare, 2000s script and story, which we'll kind of dive into.
It was. We'll talk about the problems with the script in a minute, I think.
So let's run through a bunch of the 2000 tropes real quick and then dive back.
Okay.
So I think we should just go back and forth and just say the thing, not even comment on
it.
Just say the thing.
Okay. All right. Who's starting? You or me?
I will start.
Okay.
Hair stuck up on end after stepsisters went through the car wash.
Good one. Messenger bag.
Ooh. Low-rise jeans.
Back dimples and hip dimples.
Acoustic guitar for serious moments.
The hats, the tight-knit beanies, the J-Lo hat that we talked about earlier, the bucket hats, all the hats.
I didn't say this while we were watching, but asymmetrical collars.
Ooh. Ooh. Did we say baggy jeans yet? You said low-rise jeans.
I said low-rise jeans.
They specifically had to be baggy.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I got one. Fancy jackets with really cheap t-shirts.
Yes. Dude. Track suits.
Trying to think beyond just wardrobe. Every shot of AOL Instant Messenger.
Yes. Goo Goo Dolls.
Samsung flip phones.
Samsung flip phone covers that had like stars and bangles
on
them.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Converse.
Multiple shots of people tripping and falling and then looking dejected after they've fallen.
Yes. Chaotic car chase that has no right to be in the film.
Trio of mean girls.
Yes. Also, trio of mean boys.
Trio of mean boys. Trio of mean girls, specifically with one tall, skinny blonde girl who is the leader, one tall, skinny black girl who is the second in command, and a shorter, rounder-faced, curly, dark-headed white girl.
Yes. Always. It's like cut and paste.
I'm ashamed of the fact that I could list three other movies that have that exact setup.
Oh, I've got something that's really 2000s and or early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Microaggressions.
Yeah, let's talk about those now. Now that the fun list is over.
So it's funny because, like, a lot of the things, I just don't remember them being in the film. Mm-hmm. But watching this back as an adult, I'm like, that's probably not okay.
I kept turning to you being like, what are they doing? They would just say things that I was like, what? And they gave some lines to my precious Carter where I was like, no!
They did. So, let's start. Most of them are directed to, what is her name?
Rhonda,
thank you. Regina King's character. I don't remember
Rhonda's name and not Austin Ames.
I don't know. They only said Rhonda, like, twice. They say Austin Ames, like, every 5 seconds. So, let's start with, at one point, Carter is dressed up like Zorro and they call him Taco Boy.
Yep.
That's a problem.
I actually think I could list all the ones from Carter because
Carter had a lot.
They bother me. The first shot of Carter is him walking out of the house to get in Sam's car, and it's been so long since I've seen this that at first I thought he was one of, like, her punishments, like she has to drive this horrible annoying boy to school.
Yeah,
because he comes out like with slouchy pants and an oversized red t-shirt, sunglasses, and I don't know what to call that hat.
It's a do-rag with like a beanie. I don't know if that's
I don't know what it was it,
over it,
but he called it like his drizzle or something that was part of his character, and it was very offensive.
It was, yeah. And then you find out he's a method actor and he's like going for a role that's like, so I don't know.
That one was uncomfortable.
That one was really uncomfortable. And thank God Sam is like, no. And she makes him go change. Yeah, she makes him
go change. But then the first time he meets Rhonda, he keeps calling her, like, girlfriend.
Yeah, he keeps doing, like, almost like is it AAVE? African-American, or is it AAEV? African-American English Vernacular?
I will say yes, because I have no idea.
I'm really bad at, like, acronym letter order. Like, I'll know what they stand for, but I'm like, I don't know what order they go in. But the point is he's like, girl, do your thing. Yo, yeah, yo, yo, yeah,
and,
girl.
And finally she calls him out. She's like, if you call me girl one more time.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, sorry. But the fact that it was in there, like, there's a way that it could have been done that might have even been more effective. And I'm glad that it wasn't just, like, LOL funny. I'm glad Rhonda was, like, seriously was like, call me that one more time.
Yeah.
You know, but it was there.
There's always comments being made towards Rhonda. Thankfully, specifically from the stepmother who is the villain.
Right. So they're contextualized as bad to begin with. Which, while they're uncomfortable, it, at least they're framed as villainous.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, she calls her, like, she says that she's from the hood, like, a couple times.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Which, you know, it's just kind of glossed over. And, like, Rhonda is hands down the nicest character. Like, even more than Carter.
Yeah.
Rhonda does, and honestly, like, it's weird because they hint at Rhonda having, like, this crazy backstory.
Yeah.
Like, she talks about, like, almost getting married at one point. And we know that she has some connection to Sam's dad. Mm-hmm. And that the only reason that she has stuck around all this time was to protect Sam.
I never thought about this in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, just her being, like, that kind of...
Yeah.
Either maternal figure or potential maternal figure.
Yeah, like she... Like, they never insinuate that she was, like, with
her dad. No, that's not what I meant by it, but...
Right, no, but she's supposed to be, like, kind of what I feel like they did is they were like, oh, this is the fairy godmother character, so we are going to double down on the godmother aspect, where, like, her entire purpose is to worry about Sam's, like, well-being.
Yeah.
But that
also led into... probably the most problematic trope that's present in this movie, which was kind of her being, like, the, you know, magical, wisdom-giving, take-care-of-the white protagonist figure.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the only lead character in this movie who is black. So it felt like tokenization. And I realize this is like one of those first movies from like, you know, early 2000s that I watched where I'm like, oh yeah, that was
a thing,
really prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I had just kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Not to say that tokenism doesn't still happen, but like,
no,
it was a big part of this movie.
Yeah. And it's something that like, I think one of the things that's just kind of interesting about it is that like last week we watched Whitney Houston be the fairy godmother, mm-hmm. but there were so many people of color throughout the film mm-hmm. that it wasn't weird.
Yeah.
Because it's not that those kinds of characters are inherently bad or wrong. Like, honestly, like to have a black woman who is a supportive maternal figure is kind of just like, there are black women in the world who are supportive maternal figures.
Yes.
The problem is when it's the only character.
Yeah.
It's like, that could have been done a lot better.
Yeah. And it's almost always to support a white protagonist story.
Yes.
And this was no exception to that.
Exactly.
And again, I thought that, you know, she was very sincere. She was very sweet. Oh, we didn't include this on the 2000s list. There was a shopping montage in here.
Oh, there was a shopping montage.
When she took her to find, you know, her costume. And mm-hmm.
Also, why is it that, and we didn't talk about this, but this happens a lot in film in general, but in 2000s films, everyone knows everybody.
Oh, yeah. She runs up to the costume shop and she's like, you know, Bob, please, I need a costume.
He's like trying to close up for the night. They just know the costume shop owner. Like, it's like the San Ferdinand Valley or some crap?
It's not a small town.
It's some ambiguous, massive area, like, in California.
They talk about how their high school has over 3,500 students.
Yes! Like, yeah. And then she's just like, hi, Frank, like, I'll serve you free breakfast for a week if you let Sam come get a costume. Like, I mean, I guess if you work at the diner, in theory, you would know more people.
Yeah.
But also just seems
the silly. Costume shop owner, that's very specific.
That is very specific.
That very much
also,
is
the
trope.
Fact that there is a costume shop as opposed to, like,
Party City.
Party City, yeah.
That's true. That's true in, like, every narrative, though.
Right.
Like, because it's amazing how many narratives require a costume shop.
That's true. But it's not interesting if you go to Party City.
No, never.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
I get that. Any other 2000s trips that we can talk about? Hats.
Oh, this is a big thing for me. Okay. So, I know that this could really... It's probably that we haven't watched, like, movies aimed at middle school high schoolers since, I mean, and honestly, even in high school, this probably wouldn't have been the one that we would have gravitated mm-hmm. for. Let's say elementary middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. It's probably that we haven't watched movies aimed at teens and tweens since we were in the mm-hmm. 2000s. These probably are still prevalent movies today. But all of these movies, the protagonist wakes up. The sun is high in the sky.
It's a perfect day.
The stepsisters are having a private coach teach them their swim routine in the pool. Sam is then told that she has to go to work. And Sam says, but I have a big test today. Which means that it's a school day. Which means that there is time for the girls to have their swim lesson while the sun is high in the sky. Sam gets to go to work. How long is she working there for? At least an hour, probably two or three, and then is going to school. On the way to school, there's time to sit down and text her not boyfriend, pick up Carter on the way there, and then
and listen to the announcements.
Never see her take the test. Listen to the announcements as she's walking into school. It is like, does school start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? True.
Also, not to mention that she wakes up in the morning and Fiona's like, Sam, come bring me my breakfast. And then in the next scene, she's dressed and her hair is immaculate.
Yeah.
Also, For a poor girl, she got some pretty good chunky highlights.
Yes. Yep.
Just saying.
Yep.
Like,
so I don't know if that's like a 2000s trend, the like, oh, I gotta get all this stuff done. But like, I feel like it is, because in the 80s it was like, Doc, are you telling me that it's 8:25? I'm late for school! And now it's like, read War and Peace before school starts.
She's like, I take several AP classes. And I'm like, no, you don't.
When?
And you took several AP. You know how I looked when I took AP? I had dark circles under my eyes. I wore nothing but buns every day because I was too tired to do my hair. Like, we had a school uniform, but if I didn't, I would have worn, like, sweatpants and not tank tops, T-shirts. That's what I'm looking for every day. Like you got dressed, you put on cute clothes, you did your hair, you did your makeup, you're texting your boyfriend, you picked up your friend. When are you doing AP? Because you know what I was doing during my lunch period during AP Lit as a senior? Mm-hmm. I was reading books.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know, they probably have time to read when they have their free swimming period in the middle of the day.
Right?
There's a pool, and girls go lounge by the pool in bikinis in the middle of their school day.
Because that's totally something that the school would consent to.
Yeah. It's weird. There's, like, this weird, mystical LA high school.
Yeah, I'm like, is this a California thing? Maybe, you know what? If you were from California, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Let us know what school's really like over there.
Also,
because here in Georgia, it ain't anything like that.
Also, this high school, the high school from Clueless, Sunnydale High from Buffy. Mm. What's up with all these beautiful castle-looking high schools? Is that, like, a California thing, too?
Yeah. Ours all look like...
Ours are ugly as sin.
Ours are like prisons and warehouses. And I haven't seen Buffy in a long time. I need to watch it.
Anytime you want to watch Buffy.
I've seen part of Buffy. I've never seen the whole thing. They're in high school?
Yeah. That's the point of the first... they're in high school for the first three seasons.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last four, they are out of high school.
When does Spike show up?
Season 2. Wait. Does Spike show up in season 1? I don't think Spike shows up in season 1. I think he's in season 2.
Because he's bad, and then he turns good at one point. His speech about loving Buffy, though, was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll talk about Spike later.
Oh my god, are you sure I could talk about him now? Let's talk about him now.
I love Spike. Angel Who?
Okay, no, don't do that.
Angel Who?
No. First three seasons, Angel, mwah. Then he got his TV show and he sucked.
Lizzie? Mm-hmm. Angel Who?
No.
Give me Spike. All day, every day.
Don't get me wrong. Spike, I think, is a better character. Who would I rather end up with? Angel from season 1 or Spike from any season? Probably Angel from season 1. But do you want to know...
Spike.
Do you want to know something interesting? You know how you have, like, that creepy little demon child who reappears in your dreams?
Yeah. Have we talked about that on here?
Oh, Liv has a creepy little demon child who reappears in her dreams.
I think I had an epiphany of, like, where he's from.
Hell?
No, there's, like, a movie that's called, like, The Orphan or something.
Oh, no! He's from hell!
But I saw, like, a poster from that, like, in passing, like, on Netflix or something like that the other day, and I was like, it's the boy! And then I realized that I'm pretty sure I, like, saw a poster of that as a child, and then that, like, image of him has just haunted me ever since, which made me feel a little better that it's not, like, a demon tormenting my soul. It's, like, my subconscious was like... That boy's creepy. He's gonna scare you for a while.
I feel kind of guilty for what I'm about to say.
What?
The only figure besides, like, myself and my friends who has ever reoccurred in my dreams is Spike.
You know what, though? I wish.
He taps into my subconscious in a way that no other fictional character ever has.
I've had one dream about Spike.
Can I tell you the disappointing thing? They're, like, never sexy. I'll be, like, shopping and be like, okay, what am I forgetting? And he'll just be there and he'll be like, the cheese. And then we'll go get it.
or I'll be watching something on TV and be like, that's the stupidest ending, right? And turn around and he's there. And he's just like, and he'll like talk about how the ending was so bad. And so he just shows up and it's like,
that's so funny.
I'll go like 4 or 5 months and then he'll just be there again.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So back to a Cinderella story starring Hilary Duff and Chad Michael Murray.
That's good, because I was about to tell you who shows up again repeatedly in my dreams, but honestly, it's a real person, and I feel like I shouldn't say.
Okay.
It's a boy I had a crush on in high school. Oh. And, like, I don't have a crush on him anymore, but every now and again, he just casually shows up in my dreams and is like, hey,
interesting.
Like, what?
What up, girl?
What up, girl? I saw him in real life, though, like, a while ago, and he gave me, like, a hug, because he hadn't seen me in a long time, yeah. And I was like, oh! Junior me feels so vindicated right now. I waited like 10 years for that, dude. But anyways, back to a Cinderella story.
I will segue this. Watch me do this segue. Chad Michael Murray's 90s 2000s hair, not nearly as good as Spike's 90s 2000s hair.
Right, the bleach blonde, like, yeah. Ooh, that was good.
Yeah. It's gotta look crunchy. His hair does not look crunchy.
It doesn't look crunchy enough. It just looks kind of wet.
I will say, when Hillary, like, kind of touched his hair at the end, I was like, oh, that does kind of look, like, fun. Mm-hmm. Like, because it kind of springs back.
Dude, when they kiss at the end, the amount of tongue that he shoved in her mouth.
It was gross. He, like, licked her face.
I'm here for it.
No! Back off, man. She almost choked on that thing.
God. Speaking of choking, I guess let's talk about what didn't work.
I mean, we've already kind of started that, but...
We have.
Really, really, I only have one other big thing I want to talk about, so yeah. If you've got other little things.
I have a few.
Okay.
I have one big thing, actually.
So my big thing, is the whole this movie does a little bit of the romantic grand gesture at the end. It's not nearly as grand as, like, you know, a 10 Things I Hate About You gesture.
I love that movie.
Oh, that movie's wonderful.
It's so good. This movie wanted to be 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, this movie wanted to be a lot of things.
This is what happens when you make a teen drama based on a fairy tale instead of a Shakespeare play.
Yeah. Oh, we did cheers to Romeo plus Juliet in the middle of this because the costume party has a lot of those same vibes.
They do.
So it does the romantic grand gesture, and I think it does it fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a personal grand gesture. Like, he's
right.
He's giving up, you know, a scholarship opportunity to, you know, to tell her how he really feels.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. What this movie does not do well is the grand bullying gesture.
Oh, where it's so bad.
It's so bad. They put on this skit that makes fun of her, and they call her Diner Girl because, you know, that's the
she
mean...
She has a job.
Yeah, because that's the mean
most
thing
most high
call
schoolers
people.
Have a job. Again, maybe this is, like, a rich kid county in California. I've never been to California, and I don't know how it works, but, like, I don't know.
Okay, great line in this movie was, droughts are for poor people.
That is a really good
that
line.
That was hilarious.
A lot of Fiona's lines are pretty good.
It's true. But back to the bullying gesture. Even when I watched this when I was 11 years old, and I saw that scene, I was like, that's lame. Like, that's dumb. Sure, it's mean. Sure, it's a jerk move that he doesn't go and, you know, stand up for her in that moment. But the laughter is so fake. The scene is so disingenuous. And honestly, gosh darn it, I just want to watch a high school movie where girls are actually mean the way that girls are mean in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... you know, like, making side eyes at their friends while giving fake compliments to mm-hmm. a girl who feels out of place.
Yeah.
And girls aren't mean to each other's faces.
Yeah. Or when they are, it's like, it's so subtle that when you're the girl, and this has only happened to me a time or two in my life, I was not popular in high school. But I was nice, and so people didn't pick on me.
Mm-hmm.
But once or twice, there would be conversations with the quote-unquote cool girls at my school. And there would be these moments where in the conversation, I felt like there was a joke that I wasn't in on.
Yes.
And then halfway through the conversation, you realize that the reason you're not in on the joke is because
it's about you. The joke. Yep.
Yeah. And that happened very rarely. It only happened once or twice, but it was enough to give me like a deep loathing for a certain group of people at my school.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in their minds, it wasn't a character judgment. It was that I had like done something weird, and yeah. I don't think they viewed it as making fun of me so much as making fun of that one thing I had done.
Yeah.
But to me, there was no distinction.
Yeah, that starts to define you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of took that and I was like, fine, if you think I'm the weird theater kid, I'm going to be the weird theater kid and I'm going to do weird skits in the hall. And because I don't care what you think, you can't hurt me.
Yeah.
But, and like I said, I went to a really small school where everybody knows everybody. I think yeah. in a lot of schools, this notion that like the popular kids run everything is silly.
Oh, it's absolutely a joke. I went to a relatively large public high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had our various circles,
mm-hmm.
but the thing was the quote unquote popular people, you know, they were just in a particular circle.
Mm-hmm. And nobody really cared.
No one really cared. And, yeah. and, you know, if you were nice and honestly, if you were smart,
mm-hmm.
like, you got ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there were popular people at my high school that I really did not like.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some popular people at my high school who yeah. were popular because they were nice and yeah. funny and kind.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know,
there were at least two or three like boys in my class who there were a few that were popular because they were hot and they were mm-hmm. kind of douchebags. But people would forgive them for their behavior because they were attractive.
Yeah.
But the boys that everyone was truly in love with and truly looked up to and thought were cool were the ones who had their group of, like, the rich kids that they kind of hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would come and, like, walk by you and be like, oh, let me get the door. Or,
yeah.
hey, how are you today? And they were just genuinely nice people. Yep. So, yep. yeah. I think the popular kid is a little bit of a myth.
Yeah, I would mm-hmm. totally agree. Funnily enough, you did say something in this movie that I thought was funny when you were talking about, like, Chad Michael Murray's quote-unquote friends, like, the dumb guy friends.
Yes.
Where they're, like, they're not super attractive, but they're just marginally, like, decent-looking well, enough.
You know what's funny is that if you look at them, one of them is really hot, but his character is very shy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that popular kid. He's only in the popular group because of how he looks, but he's actually kind of a dweeb deep down
yep.
inside. But he'll never let you know because yep. he has been conditioned to only wear his, like, and back in the day it was, you know, pop collar.
Pop the collar.
You know, polo shirt and his nice jeans and his boat shoes. But now, but you know, like, that's the guy that grows up and is like, I've secretly watched anime for 15 years. Like, that's him. The other guy, though, I know even better. He's the guy who is mildly unfortunate looking, but has enough money.
Yeah.
To somehow, and enough athletic ability to weasel his way into the cool kid group.
Yep.
And all the other guys put up with him
mm-hmm.
because of what they can get from him.
Yeah.
And he's just a douchebag. And he's not that cute, but he'll still get a girlfriend because he's in the in-group and he has money.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew those kids in high school.
Yeah.
I can count the ones on my finger who I'm thinking of right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have more to say about this movie, but real quick, I'm going to segue into something really horrifying.
Okay.
So, I just got a Facebook invite this week.
Oh, me too. I got mine, like, a couple months ago. Happy 10-year anniversary!
I don't know if I'm going to go.
I'm actually probably going to get mine.
I might. I don't know.
See, I think that's one of the blessings of, like, the big high school thing, though.
You'll,
like,
find some people who, you know, you enjoyed hanging out with in high school.
Well, and I went...
And you'll catch up.
And I went to a big high school, and then I went to, you know, UGA, biggest college in the state, where a lot of us went.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my high school friends turned into my college friends. And those are the people who I was closest with.
Right. So... For me, it's more the fact that, like, there are going to be people there who I genuinely would like to see. Even people that, like, I wasn't good friends with.
Mm-hmm.
They're people that...
Sorry.
They're people that were, like, kind and that, you know, I want the best for. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that always made me feel kind of invisible. And, like, I just don't care what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, it's not that, like, I don't want to, like, face them or anything. It's more like, I have to drive, like, an hour and a half to see these people.
You have no interest in it.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a lot of sense.
So, that's kind of my dilemma is, like, kind of what I'm doing is I'm waiting to see who's going.
I feel that.
Because, like, if it's just, if it's, like, the majority of people that I wasn't close with at all, I'm probably not going to go. But if... If some of my friends go and, like the girl who's like, putting it on, she was always so sweet. And so, I'm like, yeah, it would be nice to see her, you know? But again, I haven't seen these people in so long. And I'm like, oh, that's just a really long trip. I have to go all the way back to, like, Lilburn.
Yep.
So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, even with all of that, high school is nothing like in these movies.
Oh yeah, Carter says at one point, you gotta love high school. I'm like,
no,
you don't.
No. We didn't even do skits like that.
No.
No. We never did skits. Our pep rallies were, like, okay. It was just, like, players, like, rolling out in the field and being like, yo.
Oh no, our pep rallies were actually pretty solid.
Really?
Yeah.
Ours were okay.
Yeah, we had multiple dance teams. Teams would come out, we'd cheer. But the biggest thing was we had, like, a cheer that we did at the end of every pep rally where you would cheer for your particular class.
Mm, yeah, we did that.
And so, first off, every year, freshmen get booed like bejesus.
Yep.
Because they don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Sophomores are just having a fun old time. But then, when it was the juniors' turn to cheer, or the seniors' turn to cheer, either the juniors or the seniors, whoever was not, who was the opposite of the one being cheered for, would come up with something to just completely ignore. So a lot of times what we'd do is you would just turn around. So, like, if it was it was the junior cheer, the seniors would all turn around.
That's fine.
The best one was back when the school paper was a physical paper that was printed. The entire senior class just held up newspapers.
Yes! Good for them.
It was amazing. I don't know why I remember that so fondly, but I really, really do.
Dude, I think junior year is hard at most schools, but it was, like, excruciating at our school.
It's a hard year.
Yeah, and it was most of the APs that were available. We didn't have a lot of APs, but most of the ones that were available, like, junior year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted those sweet, sweet APs, you would, like, double book yourself and you'd be exhausted. So the junior year, like, it always would be freshmen, and they'd be like, eh! And everybody would be like, eh! You know?
Yep.
And then the sophomores would come up and they would cheer and everybody would be like, hey, okay, cool. And the juniors would get up and they're like, yay. And they'd just be tired. And then nobody really tried, though, because the seniors would be like, oh. And we made, like, gang signs for ours.
We had them, too.
So ours was, what year did I graduate?
11, because I graduated 11.
You're right. So this was ours. Is that right? Or is it this? I'm trying to see what's right for
you.
Well,
that looks like 21.
No, because X is 10, isn't it?
Oh, you're right.
So what I'm doing is I'm holding up, like...
She's crossing her pinkies. All the other fingers are down except
for... It's not your pinky. You cross your, it's opposite. You cross your pointer fingers.
Oh, I'm sorry. And you do your pinky.
And then you hold up your pinky so that it's the Roman numeral for 11.
Yep, that makes sense.
The grade before us was just this.
Yeah.
Which was honestly cooler.
Yeah, doing the X was cool.
09 was this.
I remember 09.
Yeah. I don't remember what 08 was.
I never spoke to seniors when I was a freshman.
See, that was the nice thing about being in a small school is that I was in theater. So I had friends who were seniors my freshman year, and I was like, oh, I'm so cool. Dude, I think I've told you this, but you know Aaron Chunin, who used to be popular on Vine?
No.
Roses are red. Yes, violets
yes,
are blue.
Yes. Why and you've told me, Linda. This.
What did I do?
told me about this. He was famous, and he was at your school.
Yeah, I did a theater lock-in with him one time, and I stayed up all night with him running through the hallways at our school. And there was like a rumor, and I don't know that he was involved in this, but there was some. We used to have senior wills.
Yeah,
and there was this thing where they would like. I don't know that this was Aaron Chunin, but this was, I think it was somebody, one of the seniors in his year, and I think he might have been involved, I'm not sure, but there was this whole story, maybe it wasn't him, I don't know, but there was this story going around, we used to have lock-ins, and the theater program was the reason that we quit having lock-ins, because at some point during the night, they would split up the boys and the girls, but there was somebody at some point willed one of the, like, juniors the freedom of the halls. And eventually it came to light that the boys were streaking through the halls. And when we found out that we were all dying, it's so funny. Oh, it was so good. Yeah, so they quit letting us have theater lock-ins, and honestly, that's probably a good thing.
There's nothing like a good old-fashioned streak.
Right? Meanwhile, the girls were in there, like, the girls were all in the prop room, like, I'm gonna wear this dress and look like Lizzie Bennet. Yeah, it was fun. And then we'd put on, like, My Chemical Romance, because we'd be like, play some MCR, play some Fall Out Boy. Paramore was a big one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're just naming all of the bands I like.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways, okay, I have one last critique about this film.
Got it.
The script is bad.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
Some personal highlights.
Every cliche.
You've mentioned I Love High School. We've already talked about Waiting for You is like Waiting for Rain in this drought, useless and disappointing.
I think you're going to say the one that I said, like, right along with the characters, even though I didn't remember it exactly.
Austin, you're throwing away your dream.
No, Dad, I'm throwing away yours. And then he, like, turns and runs to her. I said it, like, word for word.
Oh, God. And then there's the one that Hilary Duff says where she looks at Fiona and she's like, you can mess with your face, you can mess with your body, you can mess with my dad's diner, but you're done messing with me. And the fat shaming in this film.
Oh, so
But also
much.
The skinny shaming in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they make fun of all the skinny girls who were like, I'll just have a water.
Yeah.
And then Austin's like, would you rather eat a rice cake or a Big Mac? And it's like, what girl in their right mind is going to rather eat a rice cake?
I'm
going to have a rice cake. No. Every girl prefers the Big Mac. It's just whether or not she has the leisure to.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's, like, the part where there's, like, the fat girl named Helga. And it's like, Helga loves bodybuilding. And it was just like, oh, no. So it's like, girls wait. But then again, that was the early 2000s. It was terrible. It was just...
Yeah.
It was not okay.
Yeah, I see stuff like that and I'm like, oh, that's why I have, like, had body issues.
Yeah.
When I was younger. Like, yeah. I look at pictures of me when I was younger and for my age, I was overweight, but I was not, like... unhealthily overweight at certain points in my life.
I was
just always like, oh no, I'm the fat one. And I wasn't.
I was a size 4 all through high school and I was like, but I'm not a size 0. I'm huge.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what was wrong with me? All I can say is thank God for the women who were like, hey, this is messed up and are talking about it.
Yeah.
And thank God for Lizzo.
Yay,
Lizzo.
I feel like every episode we need to find a way to say,
Yay, Lizzo.
But yeah, I completely agree. I think for the most part, if I don't ever see this movie again, that's fine. But
yeah.
I didn't hate rewatching it as much as I thought I would. What is your final score?
Nah, watching this movie is like waiting for rain in this drought. Useless and disappointing.
Yeah.
This movie is...
That was it. I don't even think you need to give it a number score.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have a witty one, but not really. It's I. Yeah. It's not 12% bad.
This movie is 4 salmon jokes too many.
Yes. 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 Oh, one last critique of this film that you mentioned at the end. So the title sequence at the beginning.
Oh my gosh!
Is like a fairy tale kind of font. Like
golden coloring!
Gold color, like old English kind of script. And then at the end, it's this like swirly pink cursive.
It doesn't match. Why doesn't it match?
All it Liv? Had to do is have some cohesion, and it couldn't even do that.
Ugh.
Because the title sequence of this movie is like waiting for the rain.
That's gonna leave a bad taste in my mouth now.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So kudos to Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah.
For being a cutie pie.
Kudos to guy who played Carter. I will look up your actor name later and see what else you are in.
Kudos to Jennifer Coolidge for making me... Oh, wait! We promised! We promised, and we didn't do it. We promised we'd look up that guy.
On TikTok. Oh, you're right.
Crap, hold on. I don't know. Entertain them while I look this up.
Well, I will go ahead and talk about next week's film that I know you are dreading.
Oh, no.
And I am thrilled about. And
oh, wait, hold on. I found it.
Oh, good. What's his name? What's his name?
Okay, he is, Astar Osborne, A-S-T-A-Star Osborne.
Oh.
That's cute.
That's great.
A-S-T-A-R-O-S-B-O-R-N-E, check him out, he is hilarious.
He's wonderful.
His Jennifer Coolidge is everything to me,
it's so good.
Yeah, okay. So, good. We cited our sources this week.
We cited our sources this week.
Okay, sorry. Well, next week's film. Oh, no.
Yeah. I genuinely think if you are able to separate yourself from the negative memories that you have about this, I think you will genuinely love this movie. But I understand if you cannot.
I think I've just seen it too many times, and I don't know what... Either what's going to happen is I'm not going to remember any of the script, because I will have blocked out that memory. Or it's all going to come flooding back to me and I'm going to know every line.
I am going to be ashamed of how many lines I know from this because I just love this movie so much. We are watching Ever After.
No.
But then you get to pick the next Cinderella one after that.
That's fair.
Yeah. But I'm excited. But I am kind of amazed at how much we have talked about high school. And
yeah, we unpacked a lot tonight.
This has been a long... I thought this was going to be like a 45-minute episode.
54 minutes just on the second half?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all, I'm so sorry. So I'll save all my stories forever after for next week, because we got to let y'all go.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's why I was like, tell me your last thoughts.
last thoughts. Movie, meh.
Yeah.
Ever After... Also meh.
Whee!
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trash you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!